Hello and welcome to Metro on KGNU Radio. I'm your host, Deanna Akra, and today we'll hear from some of our candidates who are running for Denver City Council this May 2015. Today's forum will cover Denver, Colorado, District 9, and we are here with two of the three candidates, Mike Borcherding and current councilman Albus Brooks for Colorado District 9, Denver, Colorado, District 9. So, thank you for joining us both today, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, we are going to just go right into it. The first opening question that I have for you is give an opening statement of 2 minutes of why you are running for your district. And, tell us why you're running for your district. Mike, we'll start with you.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for having me today. So, it started this process about 2-3 years ago when I started giving it serious thought. And the reason why then I was running, there was several reasons. There was parking issues downtown, parking issues that stretched out into the different neighborhoods like Whittier and Five Points. I'd be walking around downtown or Five Points or even up through Cole and Clayton, and there'd be homeless issues that I really thought that we could address. The rising cost for housing, not just the rental market, but people being able to purchase their first home. And that's really what drove me to running for city council. But then the more and more that I think about it, what really drove me, it's been something that's been in my family for generations. My grandfather served in the Army. My father served in the Army, as well as he was a police officer. And myself, at the age of 17, I decided to join the Army. So public service has been embedded in me since a very young age. And it's kind of a drive that you have inside of you that brings you back to that. And that's why I'm running for City Council District 9 now. Thank you.
Mr. Brooks.
Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. So this all started for me when, you know, I played football at the University of Colorado, and I blew out my knee and I could not go on to the NFL. I thought I'd be playing on Sundays, and it was a real purpose change for me, and started thinking about, what do I want to do next? What do I want to invest in next in my life? And I began to fall in love with Denver. And I began to work with young people within Denver. And we worked with some of, low-income, at-risk kids. And one time, you know, worked for a deal called Young Life. And one time we're heading back from this camp, and I'll never forget it, one of the gang members in the bus said, "Man, we had an incredible time, but don't ever take me back here." And, you know, I was kind of struck by that. And he said, "Because when I go back, my mom, she's on crack. I have gang infested neighborhoods. We have schools that don't work. And so it's just no good for you to show me what life can be like not in my neighborhood." And that was the moment when I began to think about, man, what does it look like when there's economic prosperity in a city? What does it look like for everyone to experience that? And for the last 4 years, that's what we've been working to do. We've been working to connect Five Points to downtown. We've been working to connect Union Station to Glover, Illyria, Swansea. We've been working to connect all of the issues within our city so that we can see some parity, so that we can see some justice between all the neighborhoods. And I think we've been successful at that, but we're not done yet.
Thank you. I have three different sections that we're going to target. The first one that we are going to target is urbanization of Denver, the increase of population, and how we're going to manage that. So my first question to you is, given the population increases, we've seen about 15,000 to 17,000 people enter our city each year. What specific plans do you have to manage that while maintaining our quality of life?
So there's two issues here. Number one is being able to navigate downtown, getting from point A to point B. I look at it from downtown in a 4-mile radius. And the second part is parking. So the first part, being able to get from point A to point B, I have, if you go to www.voteborch.com, I have a pretty good plan outlined that includes the My Urbanization card. We're going to take the B-Cycle service, we're going to take Car2Go and local RTD transit, and we're going to combine it into one program, so that an individual can sit there and say, okay, I need to get from Cap Hill over to the Rhino District. What's going to be the quickest way? Should I Uber it? Should I hop on a B-Cycle? Should I use a local RTD? What's going to be the best way to get there? The goal is to mitigate individuals having to use their personal occupancy vehicle to get from point A to point B, because we don't want as many people driving on the street. Number two, for parking, this is working in conjunction with the neighborhoods. If you look at Denver compared to a lot of other major cities, when we get out outside of the downtown area, there's a lot of two-way streets. I want to look at turning those into one-way streets and then turning parking into 45-degree angles. But this has to be done in conjunction with the different neighborhood organizations.
Okay, thank you.
So, you know, we've done a lot in planning. We knew that this boom was coming. And just so you know, there's 200 people a week that are moving to Denver. And so to prepare for that, first of all, we need someone in office who understands urban redevelopment. We need an urbanist who understands how to implement plans that were already set up. So we have, in 2007, we put together the Denver Downtown Neighborhoods Plan, the Northeast Downtown Neighborhoods Plan as well. And so as we implement those, they're going to cause, so you know, Mike just talked about two-way to one-way. No city in America right now is going two-way to one-way. Matter of fact, they're going away from that because they're seeing that that is making up too much. It's giving too much ownership for the car. We want to make sure that we have complete streets, better streets. Complete streets mean bike lanes, and not just sharrows, but protected bike lanes. We want to make sure and enhance our pedestrian crosswalks and things like that. All of those are outlined in the plan. And so, first of all, you're going to see our office, and we're going to implement the plan. But secondly, what we feel like is not being addressed is tailored parking per neighborhood. So we have a parking plan, a master plan for the entire city, but we don't have a parking plan for Rhino and Curtis Park, who are experiencing a lot of congestion right now because of all the development. And so those are some of the issues that you're going to see here. We just spent $1 billion in the East Rail Line. We're going to be inviting folks to use the transportation, make sure that they have adequate transportation at each of the stops, and that's why we're also doing affordable housing at those stops.
Okay, great. Thanks. That leads me to my next question about affordable housing. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Metro on KGNU, and we are here with two of the three candidates for Denver City Council number 9, Mr. Michael Borcherding and Albus Brooks. And so we're talking today about development in the city. And my next question to both of the candidates, and please introduce yourself first so people can identify your voice. What is your philosophy on economic development in regards to affordable housing? How do we go about building more affordable housing with all this new economic development?
Okay, thank you for that question. This is Mike Borcherding. One of the big pushes that I want to make is to fix the construction defect bill. Every state has a construction defect bill. Ours is messed up. The only way to get any problems fixed is through litigation, is through lawsuits. If you follow suit with what Lakewood did or what Lone Tree just did, we can fix the construction defect bill. We can still give homeowners the ability to fix any problems that they have in their home, but then we'll also be able to start building condominiums, ownership condominiums. Right now in Colorado, in the Denver area, only 2% of new builds are condos, as opposed to nationwide, it's 20%. Condominiums are it's the backbone of first ownership. With that, we're also gonna go ahead and have 10% of all new condo builds will go towards inclusionary housing, will go towards low-income housing, will go towards affordable housing. So that's step one, is fixing the construction defect bill. That'll open it up, that'll also help out the rental market, so that individuals who wanna purchase homes, instead of spending more money on rent, they can go ahead and put that towards a mortgage.
Is that a current bill that you hope to sponsor or?
So right now there are 6 council seats that are up for grabs. It's gonna be brand new people. That's 6 out of 13, that's a minimum. If you elect me, Mike Borcherding, I'm the majority vote. That's 7 out of 13. I can guarantee you by the end of this year that I'll get that pushed through.
Okay, great, thank you.
Albus Brooks, City Councilman, District 8. Running for City Council District 9. The construction defect bill is incredibly important at the state, and we need to be, what we do as a city is we have a state lobbying team that works with our representatives that represent Denver, and we've been working really hard on this bill, and I think we get a little bit further each year. There's been a lot of frustration in the state, and so municipalities have taken on this bill. Here's the problem. These bills at a municipal level do not register the the strength that they need to with insurance companies. Insurance companies want to see a state-led bill. So while Lakewood and some of these other municipalities are doing great things by saying this is important to us, they're not seeing condos yet because their bills aren't strong enough. It needs to come from the state. So we'll continue to push this. Here's something specific we're doing right now. The mayor, Councilwoman Kenich, and I are putting together the first ever housing trust. This housing trust, my hope is that when we get out of it, what we're going to get out of it is $110 million for affordable housing. The way this will be done is we'll work with donors, we'll work with developers and say, listen, for this new build that you're going to do, we want to invest into your project and we want this percentage of it to be an affordable housing component. We have had extreme success in District 8. We've had 650 units of affordable housing units are under construction today. So we know what we're doing. We have experience doing it. Now we want to do it at a citywide level.
Just have a follow-up question, too. Are for these plans to improve affordable housing, are they in high-traffic areas where things are happening, such as downtown? What are your plans to make sure that affordable housing isn't in the offshoots of the city?
This is Mike Borchardt again, and it has to be done throughout the entire city. If you look at Glowville or Swansea, we're looking at putting in that whole I-70 project. We're looking at putting that new Western Stock Show. You have 2-3 generations of families that have lived in those neighborhoods. Now, all of a sudden, the city and the state are going to start dumping hundreds of millions of dollars. That's going to raise the cost of living there. They're not going to be able to afford to live there. So it's not just downtown. It has to be all throughout Denver.
This is Albus Brooks, City Council District 8. So I think it's important to note. So we passed the Inclusionary Housing Ordinance amendments to the ordinance. And one of the things we did was highlight the areas that affordable housing needs to go. And we're calling them high zone. They're where there's a lot of transportation. So downtown, Cherry Creek, all along the East Rail Line. So 40th and Colorado, Stapleton. And so I think all of those areas will be our what I'm saying is the roadmap is already laid. And so those areas are going to be our high content areas that we're going to try to invest a lot in.
Okay. Moving on to social development. That's the next part of this forum. So here at KGNU, we know about our thriving arts and culture community here in Denver. And it's something that makes Denver a great place to be. We're right here on historic Santa Fe. What will you do to make sure that this community and also the working professionals in this community maintain and grow?
Albus Brooks, City Council District 8, extremely important. I think what makes Denver cool, what makes Denver hip, and what makes Denver wild is our art scene. And so part of this district that I will be running for to represent again is the Rhino Arts District. And we have seen incredible a relationship, a system set up there where the arts community is in relationship with the business community. Nowhere else in the city do we have that symbiotic relationship. And so what I want to do is begin to foster that and see where we can do that in other nodes, where in Five Points, other parts of downtown. We need to make sure that artists keep Denver cool and have a place to stay in Denver, have a voice in Denver, and that they are in relationship with the business community that's going to drive retail and drive economic development to the community. And so I'm a huge proponent, and I will continue to promote that symbiotic relationship.
This is Mike Borcherding. So I really think one of the issues that we've been facing when I've been out talking to people is maintaining the historical integrity of neighborhoods. You have buildings that are built in 1880, 1890, and they're being torn down and putting up, you know, large brownstone projects. And neighbors want to maintain that historical integrity because they take pride in the arts. They take pride in that old school look, but being able to have that new school attitude with so many people moving here. So I think maintaining historical integrity is key, but as well as reaching out to young children too. Let them perform art walks in the alleyways and Cole and Clayton. Let them go down to Whittier, and there's a lot of blank landscape that we have against walls that people can go ahead and use for a graffiti project. I know it might be a bad word, graffiti, but letting people use their own natural artistic ability to take advantage of a blank space like that would be key.
Great. Great. And that's another one of my next questions about social development is, in light of all the news outlets have been covering this, is the shooting of Jesse Hernandez and what that means about Denver's leadership and the engagement with our youth. So what would you do, you know, in light of this event? What have you been doing, and what would you do to combat and make sure this never happened again?
This is Albus Brooks, representing City Council District 8, and this is my life's work, is working with young people. And so, you know, once all this stuff happened with Jesse, happened here in Denver, it just uncovered things that have been in existence for a long time, relationships between the police, relationships in the neighborhood. But I think you also see a macro trend happening in the United States with Ferguson and Eric Gardner in New York. What we're doing right now is working with the Denver Freedom Riders to do a national research deal where we look at the hierarchy of law within the city and county of Denver. So we're looking at policy ordinances and charter changes that would provide more protection to community members. I promise you, anywhere in America, you're going to have kids stealing cars and doing what Jesse was doing, but they shouldn't be killed, right? And so that's the issue of the community. They're really upset about that. But we feel like if we begin to harness that and start meeting and start seeing what other cities are doing, we're going to come up with a great opportunity. The other thing I'll say is that the gang violence has been uncontrollable the last 2 months, and we're putting a lot of resources there for police officers, but also community folks. And so I'll be leading an effort to be meeting with these key young people who are in these gangs, rival gangs, particularly the Bloods and the Crips in Park Hill in Northeast Denver.
This is Mike Borcherding. So the Jesse Hernandez was probably one of the saddest stories that have come out of Denver this past year. And as the son of a police officer, I know that the answer to curbing this violence is not through more police officers on the street. It really is through community outreach. It's through talking to kids before they reach middle school, before they reach high school. It's setting up internships and after-work programs. What I'd like to do is companies or organizations that are already doing business with the city of Denver or that we already have close relationships with, I'd like to approach them to see if they'll go ahead and provide internships, to see if they'll provide after-school programs for these children, whether they be 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. But the goal is that we don't want them to have free time on their hands.
My last question about social development is our immigrant and refugee population. If there is anything specific, any issues that you think are most pressing with this population, which takes up, just for youth, I know that 32% of our youth in Denver is of Latino descent. So if we could talk a little bit about how you plan specifically on engaging with the immigrant and refugee population.
Yeah, this is Albus Brooks again, representing Council District 8. We have an incredible system to do the world immigrant population first. It's called Sister Cities International. And our office was a key leader in reviving that after Mayor Webb did such a great job in putting that together and naming many of our parks, our 12 parks, after our Denver sister cities. We have traveled to six of those sister cities. And what we found out in Ethiopia, in Nairobi, in Kunming, China, in all these places is that there's a significant population here. And how do we connect them to the city? So we created a commission off of Immigrant and Refugee Commission, and they are the leaders in which they bring all the issues to the table that which we need to consider policy. And so I think we've done a lot. We have a lot more to do. There's a lot more issues. Obviously, the majority of the immigrant population are Mexican-American descent, and they're, you know, there are opportunities for us to continue to build relationships. I think Glover Swansea, Cole and Clayton, where I live, is a huge community where that immigrant community is, that we're working to transition into society without the fear of retribution.
This is Mike Borcherding, and to help connect with the Hispanic community, yo hablo poco español, no mucho, pero yo estudio un día per a la semana. All right, no more Spanish. But in order to connect they may not be voters. If we have illegal immigrants, I know they're not voters. But at the same time, they live here. Their family members live here. That's why they chose to live in Denver. That's why they chose to live in Glouville, Swansea, Cole, and Clayton. And we have to respect that. I also think we should be applying more pressure up at the state level so that we can get driver's license for illegal immigrants. I truly believe that as well. We can't just have people driving around from point A to point B without a license, because that's when we have hit and runs. That's when we have people where there's an accident, all of a sudden they run away. So you have to engage them. I'm out there talking to people on a daily basis, knocking on doors and seeing what their different problems and issues are. And their problems and issues are the exact same that other people want. They want affordable housing. They want safe streets for their kids.
Okay. So my next section is political engagement and how you would act as a council person in relation to the people who may have more power than you, and how you would engage with just the greater political sphere. So I wanted to ask about, once again, following up on police brutality and the plans that you have to have a better relationship or more influential relationship with Denver police.
This is Mike Borcherding. So this is something that's I've been torn back and forth with for years now. Where my father would always tell me that, you know, we put police officers put themselves in stressful situations where the decision they make right there, that decision, whatever they do, is going to be debated for years down the road by politicians, by lawyers, by the media. So it comes down to the training that these police officers receive. So I truly believe that if we were to take police officers off the street, and sections, put them through a rigorous 2-week, 3-week training process so that we can train them up with the respect that the DPD should hold, that they would help jumpstart the program there. But I also, another problem that we have is we hire a lot of police officers outside of DPD, whereas they're with St. Louis or Seattle or somewhere else, then they come to the Denver Police Department. So they've received training elsewhere. I like to just do fresh. I like to have fresh new recruits go to the Denver Police Department Academy. And I know we've talked about this before in the past, having the Denver Sheriff's Department rolled up and overseen by the DPD as well. That'll help save some money. We can put that towards training to ensure that all police officers live up to the DPD standard. But it also comes down to community outreach too, where we can't, the respect that the citizens hold for police officers, they need to be able to respect them. If a police officer tells you to do something, you have to listen to them. But right now, it seems like there's a giant disconnect between the population and the police officers.
This is Albus Brooks, City Council District 8 representative. You know, as the chair of the Health and Safety Committee for City Council and overseeing the safety department, I think we've built amazing relationship with each of our Sheriff Diggins, Chief White, and Sheriff Tate, or Chief Tate with the fire department. And I'll just say that 95% of our police officers are great. They're doing great work. They get 650,000 calls, and a very low percentage of those calls result in media attention. So it is focusing in on that small percentage, and that's what we're going to be doing with this these policy suggestions in looking at the hierarchy of law. And we've been meeting for the last 2 months. We hopefully will be coming out this summer talking about what some of those suggestions are, but something needs to happen around that. There needs to be accountability when an officer is out of line.
Okay, great. Well, we're just wrapping up here. So we have two more parts left, just the three most important decisions that you would make within your term as a city council member.
This is Mike Borcherding, candidate, District 9. Number one, as I stated before, the construction defect bill. That is what will help jumpstart home ownership. That is what will help jumpstart affordable housing. That is what will help jumpstart stabilizing the rental market right now, too. Number two is urbanization. I talked a little bit about the My Urbanite card, being able to go from point A to point B with one little card that'll go ahead and take you through the RTD local transit. It'll take you through the car to go. You could use B-Cycle down the protected bike lanes. Easiest way to navigate from point A to point B. That's how cities grow. And the third one really is crime. There's no easy solution for solving crime or the gang issues. but it really does come down to community involvement, getting to kids when they're young, talking to families, working with the police department. So urbanization, crime, and being able to provide affordable housing through fixing the construction defect bill. Thank you.
This is Albus Brooks, City Council Representative, District 8. Number one will be, for the first time in Denver's history, coming up and solidifying our housing trust fund, which will hopefully generate $100 million in revenue for the city and county of Denver, specifically for affordable housing. Number two, it's all about complete streets. This year, as a budget priority, the District 8 office will be submitting a $15 million complete streets implementation plan for downtown. So we're really excited about that. That includes bikes, peds, taking one-way streets to two-way streets, which has always been in the downtown Denver plan. And then I think lastly, there's a couple of things. Obviously, it's this police issue for sure. It's not crime, because Denver has one of the lowest crime rates in the nation. And I don't think a lot of people know we've had a spike the last month, but comparatively to bigger cities, we have the lowest crime in the nation. And so it's not crime, but it is taking care of this issue with our society and our kids. But it's also finding felons in 80205, which is the highest reentry rate in the system, zip code in the system, finding them jobs. And we do that program every year.
Okay, well, we just have a few minutes left and just want to ask to, give your closing statements. Just talk to our listeners and a lot of Denver listeners right now thinking, who should they vote for? So just tell them why.
Excellent. This is Mike Borchman, candidate for District 9. And I urge you to vote for me because I've set forth a plan. Go online, check out www.voteborch.com. I have a plan for housing. I have a plan for urban development. I have a plan for maintaining historical integrity, for parking, and for transit as well. So public service has been in my family for generations. I can't wait to serve you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Albus Brooks, City Council District 8 Representative. And what I hear more than anything is, what have you done? What is the experience that you've had in your past that's going to empower you to lead tomorrow? And I think everyone knows our report is on the website. They know what we've done, what our leadership, it's a collaborative leadership. We work with the community, very eclectic, bringing African-American, Latinos, whites, high middle class, low middle class, every generational level together to be in the most dynamic district in the city. And that's what I'll do. I have the experience to do it. I want to continue to keep this trajectory that we're on, where everybody counts, everybody matters, because we're a great city here in Denver. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us, all you listeners, Councilman Brooks and Mike Borcherding. We did have one of our candidates decline this interview, but he was canvassing for the Cesar Chavez parade today. So, and his name is Ian Tafoya. So look out for his name as well on the ballot. And I wish you both luck. And thank you for joining us on KGNU Metro.
Thank you.